You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Who wants to have some fun? Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brought to you by 1100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1100.net. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan in here till 7. Future headlines and Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. Sounds like Antonio Brown could be moved now at any point. Watch, he ends up in Buffalo anyway. After all this, he still goes to Buffalo.
The only worst place to go would be Dallas. Some real losers.
Well, you'd have a chance to win there.
That's right. Pierre LeBrun's in studio. Well, they're picking up Alan Hearns and his option anyway. So they're capped out.
You know, I like that. We'll get off the Cowboys in a second here. But I only like that because of the way season ended and the way that he had become such a popular guy in that room. He's only like a fourth guy on
that team. $4 million pickup or whatever.
Just the broken leg in that playoff game is just like, oof.
Apparently he's back in the field working out. Like they're picking it up because they clearly believe that he can play.
Well, next year.
Why wouldn't it be Dallas Cowboys time? Absolutely. You were down at the meetings. You
know, yes.
We had Dregs on, we had Bob on, and we started the same way while they were at Boca Raton for the GM meetings. Nothing's come out of this.
Like, very minor.
It just sounds like a complete waste of time. Like, is it a vacation because leading up to the trade deadline, the GMs are working, and then it's like, here, we'll throw you a bone, we'll fly you guys down to Florida.
I mean, they do put in the time, but it's interesting. I've covered that meeting for about 20 years, and it used to be you'd go down there and everyone's hair was on fire. That puck era. We need goals.
Right.
And then headshots. Rule 48. Cook, Savard. Like, you'd go down there, and literally you felt like you're in the center of the hockey universe for 3 days because stuff was happening, and the game was having a crisis every single year.
Right.
It is, and I hate being, I hate even pretending to saying everything's fine, but it is weird the last couple of years to go down there and have guys say, we don't want to do anything big because people like the game. Like, my entire career, I've never seen this in the NHL.
CBA get brought up at all?
It did. There was an update on the CBA. It was pretty brief. Update on Seattle. I wrote about that for The Athletic on Wednesday. That's the only spice that really came up is Bill Daly came up pretty firmly and said he doesn't. Essentially, the league's going to make sure Vegas doesn't interfere in the Vegas expansion process. Remember, Vegas is exempt from the draft. They don't have to come up with a protection list, lose a player. So they're going to become a popular target for other teams who are in a jam to dump players. And what the NHL is saying, you cannot park players on Vegas, but you can make a bona fide trade. And I'm trying to figure out how
there's
the
only so many roster spots. I mean, how many guys can they take on?
But there could be one or two. Like, the example I talked about is, what if the Predators decide to protect three instead of four defensemen this time around? They did the big four last time, obviously, but it meant they could only protect four forwards, so they lost James Neal. They protect three. One of their big four gets exposed. You would want to trade him to Vegas and get something back as opposed to losing for nothing in the expansion draft at Seattle. All Bill Daly would say is he will know when he sees it as far as something that doesn't pass a smell test for Vegas.
How's he going to know him?
I don't know. It's going to be
trade P.K. Subban for a seventh rounder. Is that what you're saying? Like,
well, I don't know. I mean,
that would be it.
The thing is, for me, is Vegas should have a right to try and make trades through that process. I mean, it stinks for Seattle that they have this weird team not part of it that Vegas didn't have to deal with themselves.
Well, I think it would also be a lot easier for the other owners to handle it if Vegas was a legitimate expansion team in hot garbage right now.
Right.
They'd be like, go ahead. You suck. Yeah. Go stand over there.
Might win the cup before Seattle comes into the league.
Exactly. Like, let's say you're Calgary, Edmonton, San Jose. You're like, these guys get this again? They get this type of treatment again?
And I will tell you, privately, some GMs were grumbling to us a lot this week about Vegas being exempt. But the thing is, it was promised to them from the outset. And in return, they don't get a check from Seattle. They're the only team that doesn't get expansion money.
Well, then that's where the owners are going to have to just deal with it. That's
right. They deal with it. They get extra money.
They get their money,
but then they can't complain that Vegas gets to skate on that. But that's the, I mean.
But Noodles, that's why today, Mark Stone's contract. I email out the details on it. Full no move. Every other team in the league right now is paranoid to give a full no move to any player, no matter how good they are, because those guys are forcibly protected in the Seattle expansion draft.
Right.
Vegas is exempt.
Right. So it doesn't matter to them.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Just another little example of how the reality is different the next few
years. That's a good point. In terms of the CBA and collective bargaining agreements, I'm paraphrasing here, but how about the audacity of Gary Bettman to say that, you know, labor peace is very important for us. Like, that's got to rattle the players. Doesn't? I know the agents. I saw Alan Walsh was like, is this guy serious?
Yeah.
Like, all he does is lock the players out, and now all of a sudden labor peace is supposed to be such a high priority for him?
Well, he definitely doesn't want to lock them out this time. That is a genuine emotion, I can tell you. But, yeah, to say that that's always what they've cared about clearly was not the case. They shut down the entire season.
So could you see a strike?
When O'Dog and Noodles were playing.
Could you see a strike?
That's the real question.
Would the players say, it's not going to work for us and we're not showing up?
This has always been about... And I wrote this back in September, but now people are starting to pay more attention. Because remember, both sides have to decide by September what they're doing. Because the reopener decision, not the actual reopener, but the decision is 12 months out. So the reopener is September 2020. The decision is September 2019. Each side 2 weeks apart. The owners, there is zero chance in my mind that the owners will reopen this CBA unless they're really angry as to how these talks go the next few months. They've been negotiating behind closed doors. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get something done by the end of the summer to avoid the whole reopener thing and to avoid everything and to finally have labor peace. So far, on both sides, and this is rare, like both sides are fairly optimistic, but
there's something
it's hard for me to believe it because of what we've experienced when you guys played.
Like, absolutely.
But why wouldn't the league want, I mean, you've got expansion coming. You know, Olympics.
And we've asked those questions every time. It's like, why wouldn't you want things to proceed? Right, right. And
but,
sure enough.
But that, I think the last time around, there was some things, regardless of what people think or not, there were some things that, from a business standpoint, they perceived was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and now that there is the framework in place, whether you like it, or if you don't like it even as a player because of escrow,
mm-hmm.
I think that's where the player is probably going to focus on maybe a set escrow instead of it moving around. Like, I don't know if you can do that because it's a 50-50 split.
Yeah, if you have a set escrow, you no longer have a hard cap. But the bottom line is for the players, I think the league has to find ways to loosen up some of the revenue definitions so that they get more of a piece of the pie somehow.
Yeah.
Olympics are a big one. But at the end of the day, when I talk to players, and it's hard to talk to 750 players, but when I talk to players, I've yet to grab a sense of we're so angry with this that we want to go on strike. I just don't feel it right now.
Right.
Now, maybe as talks keep going this summer, the players have a decision to make, but I actually believe, even though I'm incredulous to it, that there is, believe it or not, a chance they can figure this out.
Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider in studio. In terms of the marketing of the sport, the boys on First Up got into this today. I was texting with Carlo a little bit. You know, I don't know how they came across this topic, but this idea that there are 25 superstars in the NHL.
No chance.
And Carlo said yes. You said no. I said no as well. And I haven't gone through every single team.
Sidney Crosby's a superstar. How many Sidney Crosbys are there? There's not 25.
Well, there's not one definition. Not one. It's not like LeBron and then. So what? There's only one superstar in the NBA. There's only one LeBron James. Like,
there's LeBron layers. James. There's Steph Curry. There's James Harden.
Okay, Alex Ovechkin, Connor McDavid. Like, there are a number of them in the NHL.
You just have to figure out where the line is.
Yeah, and it's totally subjective.
But there's not 25.
I don't think there is either. I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's also not just one or two.
I think there's 15.
Like, superstars. How would you define a superstar?
Guys who have been in the hardware conversation and been very consistent throughout their career and that are known as the elite.
Yeah.
So I can think of a couple, you know, at least one. Like, for me, Carey Price is a superstar. From a goaltender standpoint.
Yes. Now, goalies are more difficult to market.
Back to being one anyway. I'm not sure
the
same in September.
That's a superstar.
Eric Carlson, superstar. Brent Burns, superstar.
I think there's 15.
It starts to rack up a little
bit. But I think there's at least 15 in the league. Yeah.
Number, 15.
25 is a bit rich, but I think we could get there in a number if we started to look at it. Like, is Jack Eichel a superstar? Or
not
is he coming?
Me.
In Buffalo. But if Jack Eichel is Austin Matthews?
Yeah, I think Austin Matthews
I think he is, too. But, you know, Matthews won Rookie of the Year. He hasn't been up for the heart either.
No, but I'm saying it just doesn't, heart is not the definition. I'm just saying.
I think it's ticket sellers. Like, I think it's guys who you really say, I'm going to buy a ticket to go see that guy play.
Jack Eichel would be the closest thing to a guy on the outside looking into
being a
superstar.
Would Johnny Gaudreau be a superstar?
Kucherov?
Kucherov's a superstar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, like,
I think you can get there.
You, but then there are teams where you're like, is Claude Giroux, sorry, Pierre, is Claude Giroux a superstar?
No.
I don't
Everyone,
think
be careful.
Hurst, Ontario. But I don't
not
think
a
he
superstar.
Is.
Another outstanding season by Claude Giroux, by the way.
Under the radar.
He's a great player.
You think he's
superstar?
A superstar?
Of course I do.
I think he's close.
That's his boy.
Loser.
But, like, the Rangers, they don't have one. Is Taylor Hall a superstar?
Well, is Henrik Lundqvist a superstar?
Last year he was.
See, but that's the thing. You start dancing around, and you're like,
yeah, okay, so Carl's right.
But based on career, is Henrik Lundqvist a superstar?
He not, was not at the height of his career.
But that's but yeah. He's still
I'm not
in the
saying
league.
This because Giroux's from my hometown, but he's been close to top five in scoring almost every year of his career except when he was hurt. I'm just saying.
No, no question.
You know what that is, though? That's brand management. Like, Giroux hasn't been deep into the playoffs, and, like, he's always been
that's
in
fair.
The conversation of, I mean, he played in the Olympic team.
But
that's,
he didn't play on the Olympic team. I don't
think
he was on the World Cup team in 2016.
He was not there in 2014.
He was the extra guy, yeah.
And in 2014, he had a monster. He was having monster years, and that's another thing. If you're on the bubble of, you know, like, P.K. Subban is a superstar for me, and I think the brand and the way that he is promoted
himself. But it's funny when Team Canada puts everything on the line and says, these are the guys we're bringing to the Olympics.
Right. But, like, I would.
That's a real honest process, too. It's sort of like you find out what other GMs think about guys around the league.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that is a different story. That's pure hockey and X's and O's.
And the way they want his team to come together. Yeah.
Hollywood and marquee. Like, Alex Pietrangelo is not a superstar for me.
No.
I don't think Shea Weber's a superstar. Like, I don't think Shea Weber's a guy.
I think
that,
he was.
Yeah.
He was close.
I mean,
that's,
again,
that's
it's all subjective.
But you're right. That's where you can get to a number 15, 20, 25, depending on how loosely you term. And what would be your criteria? It's almost getting back into Hall of Fame arguments. Like, this guy's a Hall of Famer,
that
guy's not a Hall of Famer. It's personal preference, because I would love to be privy to one of those meetings at the Hall of Fame. Like, do they have a defined criteria, or did you just work through it? If we sat here for 10 hours in...
That's hard.
...and round-tabled it, we could probably come up with 25 superstars, but there would be loose translation from player 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would say.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is where you're going, Brian, but I think the league generally gets criticized for not marketing its stars as well as other sports. I think it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, they're more team first.
Yeah, and what I will tell you is an interesting conversation I had with a league official about a year or two ago where I asked that. I said, does that bother you guys when you hear that? And he said to me, I'm trying to remember exactly how he said this, that the experience that they learn from the heavy marketing of Ovechkin and Crosby as rookies in 05-06 coming out of lockout taught them that that's not what a lot of their fan base wanted, that the logo in front is, in fact, the biggest driving force of what hockey fans are into. Interestingly.
Well, but what I would say about that is I wouldn't deny that. I mean, those are the studies, but... Those you're surveying the people that you already have as fans,
right?
You know, so how do you attract the people that aren't necessarily into the game?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would suggest having players and billboard type players, marquee type players that can dive into the mainstream might be able to attract some more people into the game.
Yeah, like that ad that Kucherov did during the holidays, the Geico ad, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed a side of his. I mean, I've interviewed him many times, but he's a very serious athlete. And I was always like, man, I'd love to be the media guy that finally gets to know this guy because he's one of the best 10 players in the world. And in that ad, you finally saw a side of Nikita Kucherov I had never seen before in my mind.
Right.
And that's a guy more people should know about.
Well, especially if he's going to win the heart.
Yeah.
He probably is.
But that goes back to, and I remember sitting down with an owner during the lockout and... him saying to me, we have to do a better job of really branding players throughout the league. He said, and he gave an example, Jerome McGinley should be known in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Not just known in Calgary and in Canada. He has to be, you have to market your players throughout the league. I think the NBA does a really good job of that.
Oh, for sure.
But the NBA, there was a time where revenues... between the NHL and the NBA weren't that far apart. I think it was about $1 billion. Now they've blown them out of the water.
Who's got to be responsible for that, to bring Jerome Iginla to the attention of Floridians? Is it the Flames?
I think it's the league. Like
some company that's got to... Like,
well, you know what? Really, you need your media partners to be doing that.
Right.
That's the problem that the NHL has in the States.
Right.
Is you go down there, they're not on ESPN,
mm-hmm.
and so ESPN pretends like they don't exist. Right. Like, that's just the way ESPN operates.
NHL Network and NBC.
Right. And the NHL Network, I don't know if they do a good. It's a lot of fluff. It's a lot of, you know, hey, everything's all good, everything's great. Where if you look at the NFL Network. Or MLB Network, like there's a lot more debate. There's a lot more heated.
Yeah,
you know,
who's better? Who's not performing? It's not just a fluff ball.
I don't watch the NHL Network very often. I don't pretend to know. Well, that's another thing. We have it in studio. It's always up here in studio, and you know, I follow them on Twitter and stuff, and they'll tweet out their content. But if the only option you have in the States is the NHL Network. And it's more just about, hey, look at the Rangers.
They're going to hat trick this.
As opposed to really, you know, who's really getting into the real debates that people want to hear. I don't know how much you can expect.
But I also think one of the things that's held hockey players back over the years is also one of the things you love about hockey players the most. It's their humility. At their core, most hockey players are unbelievably humble and don't seek the spotlight. And so it's actually uncomfortable for them, I know, when people go to them and say, do you want to do this, want to do that? And it's not a natural trait for a hockey player to want to take the spotlight on. And Kucherov's a great example. I mean, you could tell. He just wants to do his job and not worry about anything.
Phil Kessel's, no? I mean, he's cusp of superstar, but great player.
Yeah, he's not a superstar.
But
there's only a handful of guys
that
love it.
But he was a name in this city, okay, in one of the, you know, the biggest media situations in hockey. Phil Kessel was arguably the face of the franchise by default,
they didn't have anyone.
But I'm
better.
Saying he didn't, you know, that wasn't a marketing situation. Phil wanted, he was allergic to it, he didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting at. And I mean, Jonathan Toews was known as Captain Serious. He's actually worked hard to get away from that mantra.
Right,
he's a lot looser. You see him doing Christmas jingles and stuff. He's actually a funny guy, but it was the humility, it was the vanilla answers, it was kind of straight-laced stuff that people were like, no, the guy's kind of boring. He's all serious.
You guys know, you've been in NHL dressing rooms for so long, that's how it is.
And that's the culture.
And that's why, you know, it's refreshing. Like, Brad Marchand had fun this week on social media. I wish we had more of that.
He's driving an Instagram account all of a sudden. Like,
but you have
him
to feel confident.
Today?
You know, I like Evander Kane on Twitter. I think he's funny after the non-suspension on Chera. Like, I wish more players did that because it just brings juice. But you know there are other guys around the league saying, oh, you know, don't make it about yourself. And I mean, that's the old hockey thing.
Right. Someone texting in saying, McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin, three superstars. Everyone else you're describing are just stars. So that's, you know, one definition of it.
Leafs playing the Oilers Saturday night. What do you think's going down with that GM search? I know the Vegas Golden Knights have said no one's talking to Kelly McCrimmon until that season is over.
Yeah. I think Kelly McCrimmon's on near the top, if not at the top, of both those lists for Seattle expansion and for Edmonton. Bob Nicholson spent the week at the GM meetings. He represented, since they don't have a GM, he went in the room and represented the Oilers as the interim GM. And in the downtime, he spoke to a lot of GMs and sort of mined their brain about the kind of things he should be looking for. It's pretty interesting. I know some people were like, well, you know, how much are you be giving him, you know? But the thing is, Bob Nicholson, because of his role at Hot Canada over the years, knows all these guys, right? He has so many relationships. So it's going to start, I think, as late season here. They're going to start the process.
Again, Leafs Oilers tomorrow night. You can hear that on TSN 1050. Good seeing you, buddy. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Yeah, come and join me at 10 p.m. Ducks and Habs if you guys are bored.
I'll be watching it. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, maybe check it out.
I'll watch you. I'm going to be watching you.
We'll be watching you in particular. You're on with Tessa tonight?
Yep.
All right. You and Tessa tonight on TSN 5, I believe, right?
There you go.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. The Raptors are in New Orleans tonight. We'll tee that up later in the hour. Marcellus Wiley coming up on What's Up with Antonio Brown. We got to get to future headlines as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in a moment. He's in L.A. We'll get his take on what's up with LeBron and the Lakers. He's a Clippers fan, though. And the Clippers beat up on the Lakers earlier in the week, and I think it was Patrick Beverley who came out and said, I told you guys, man, we're the best team in the city. It's not saying much. The Lakers are a disaster. But we'll also get his take on Antonio Brown, the Buffalo Bills, a team he loves, a team he played for a long time. They got a bad rep in the league, you know, and they deserve it based on the what they do on the field and in the front office and the coaching staff. You know, the city takes heat and the weather and all that kind of stuff, but they're passionate fans. Like, yeah. Bills Mafia, they come to play.
Yes, they do.
They come to tailgate. They come to play. They come to jump through tables.
They get it done.
They love jumping off a bus onto a table.
Future headlines brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. So, tomorrow night, Leafs, Oilers, hockey night. Connor McDavid did not play well last week. Auston Matthews did not play well a couple of nights ago. If you had to place money, $100 down on one player having a bigger night tomorrow night.
Future headline, fill in the blank, steals the show.
Auston Matthews or Connor McDavid?
Connor McDavid. He lit them up one night. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. He had 5 points.
Is that his rookie year? Must have been his rookie year.
I expect a response from Matthews, but I think McDavid is... He's well aware of how he played in Toronto.
He is due for a big one.
And I think Austin's been
all around
it. I think
Austin knows that he's been struggling too, man.
You're right.
He has, but I'll side with McDavid at home. Because I think even if McDavid has a big night and Auston Matthews just has an okay night, I still think the Leafs can and will win tomorrow night.
Yeah, they can win, yeah.
Here's Marcellus Wiley. We haven't caught up with him in a while since post-Super Bowl, really. From FS1, and he's got a book out, the whole nine, wow. And longtime NFLer. We all know who he is. Back on Overdrive. What's up, Marcellus?
Oh, this is great, man. Just a lot of football news, like they're still playing every single week. It's crazy.
Well, what's your read on this Antonio Brown situation?
I mean, they always tell you to listen to your gut, your intuition. They say it's 6 million times faster than cognitive thought. So when you think about something, you're much slower than if you felt it. What I felt from the beginning is that Antonio Brown was on a mission for respect, to level the playing field, to bring notice and attention to some of the wrongdoings he felt in the locker room. Him and Ben Roethlisberger's relationship, in his eyes, seemed to erode it to the point where Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a good receiver, but as no Antonio Brown, had two fewer targets than Antonio Brown. I think Antonio felt that Ben was acting passive-aggressive in some respects, not throwing the ball at certain times, not being as accurate as he could at certain times, and then downright just calling him out at other times. Remember when Ben threw an interception to a D lineman and blamed Antonio for his route running? I think that Antonio wanted to just drop a bomb on that locker room and let everybody know, hey, Ben is the man, we get it, but I'm also maybe the best in my position as well. So I think that's where it all started. Where is it now? I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I think this is a guy who was just crying out for help to get respect, to get attention, to make sure that this organization was put on full notice. But I don't really see him wanting to go anywhere. At the same time, if opportunity presents itself, because he is so far ahead of his skis, he's out there. Everyone knows that he's asked for this trade. He may go through with this, but I think there's a lot of his heart that's still in Pittsburgh in that locker room as long as there's a level playing field.
Apparently he said no to going to Buffalo. Would that be an indictment on the city itself or the football team itself?
That's crazy. I started my career in Buffalo, and I understand some of the issues that players have with it. It's not a fun place in comparison to some other cities. It's on the lower end of the spectrum. We understand that. But they love football. I tell you one thing, man. You talk about fanfare. You talk about pandemonium. No greater place to play than in Buffalo. At the same time, he should be used to the inclement weather playing in Pittsburgh. It's no California, so I don't think the weather's the issue. I just think that they're far away from contention in his eyes. And when you're a 31-year-old receiver, the last thing you want to do is kind of start at the bottom in terms of playoff contention and success. So maybe it was more an indictment on them rebuilding more so than just the city and the lack of activity outside the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And let's be honest, the Bills, they deserve the reputation they have. They've been in the playoffs once this whole century. You know, you're going to take a beating league-wide for that. But, you know, to your point about Antonio Brown and what he might be seeking out here is, you know, by all accounts, he wants to play for a great quarterback in a system that throws the ball with a franchise that's got, you know, a certain winning culture to it.
Dude, you can't
That's
have
Pittsburgh.
That. Yeah.
But it's Pittsburgh. You know, like, I know it all fell off, but everything we believe he's seeking out in terms of, you know, this new team or whatever football team he wants to play for, it screams the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
It screams it, but if you listen to the echo of that scream, it also points a little at Ben Roethlisberger. Like, Ben is a good dude. I like Ben. Knew him before he even got drafted. Got a chance to meet him in the process and known him all the way through. I would say this, that Antonio is saying, look, Ben, you're the same guy that almost quit and retired on this team. Ben, you're the same guy that when we drafted at your position, you said you wouldn't even mentor the dude. You're not going to help him out. You're the same guy that calls out your star player and receiver when I did my job, but you didn't do your job, but you couldn't jump on that grenade for yourself, but you try to throw it at me. And I think that's where Antonio's coming from. Everyone's saying he's a diva receiver. I wouldn't argue that. But you know what happens when you get paid and you're that successful? You start to speak your authentic voice. And what he's saying is, you're not on a higher level than me. You may think you are, you may be, because you got the two Super Bowls, I get it. I'm not going to argue that. But in terms of success, in terms of impact, I am just as important to this team as you are. And whether he's right or wrong, I think he's just demanding that respect. And Ben has crossed the line in several ways to show that there is a pecking order. And maybe Antonio disagrees with that. And I think that's where really all of these issues are coming from. Two guys, and remember, a receiver has to have his quarterback on the same page with him. He's so dependent on that quarterback and that relationship. And as he said, Ben has an owner's mentality. He doesn't trust Ben as actually being respectful to him. So I think that's where all these issues are. It takes two beers, guys, and a bucket of wings, and these guys could easily solve these problems. But so far, they haven't gotten to that place yet.
With Marcellus Wiley, so what do you make of this report? We believe it's going to be locked in based on what happened today. The Jaguars are shedding money any which way they can. They're clearing space, and everyone believes it's going to be Nick Foles' time down there in Jacksonville. How do you feel about the Jags' chances of getting back to that 13-3 type of production with Nick Foles as their quarterback?
Oh, I love it. Remember, this is a roster that a couple years ago had the lead and should have won that game against the Patriots AFC Championship game, but got too conservative in their second half nature. But this is a team that has the players, especially if Leonard Fournette can stay healthy. You talk about the running game. You talk about now Nick Foles and the energy he brings at that position and how he inspires others to play above their heads. You saw that quarterback situation in Jacksonville. That defense has the personnel. They can go out there and play their game. I was looking at their numbers from last year. I think it was the first three games. They lost all by like a field goal, a few points. And then they played Dallas. And once they played Dallas, the wheels fell off. And then after that, it started to spiral out of control because they were out of contention. But this is a team that really has a lot of star power and a lot of good players. So you fix that quarterback position, you got something special there.
Before we get you out of here, we got to ask you about what's up with LeBron and the Lakers in L.A. I know you're a big Clippers guy, but, you know, and they laid a beating on him earlier this week. And the Lakers, they're done now. Now LeBron, you know, minute restrictions. He's not going to play back-to-back. They're basically tanking. They've thrown in the towel. But what was up with L.A. and the Staples Center in general to just a completely subdued reaction to LeBron passing Michael Jordan all time in points? Like, that just fell on deaf ears, man. It didn't seem like there was any energy in that building.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of it was a miss. One, they realized that they're out of playoff contention, so that's tough to swallow. Two, they realized even though we have the best player in the world and we won 35 games last year, we're going to struggle to win 35 games this year. So that's tough to swallow. And then you're losing to your three-way series, crosstown rivals in the Clippers. That's tough to swallow. But more importantly, I just think it's a team that really got dropped on their head in terms of expectations. They were a 35-win team with a young core. And if someone says we're going to give you a cherry on top called LeBron James, you're thinking 10 to 20 extra wins. This team may be lucky if they get 5 extra wins, if that. So I think it was just those realizations and then the visuals. LeBron is passing Jordan, and they're showing a video of LeBron in a Cleveland jersey and in a Miami Heat jersey against a guy who played in Chicago and with the Wizards. None of that hit home for L.A. They're just sitting there like, okay, that guy from that team who made all those points is now here, but we don't feel that impact. So I think it was just so distant in terms of his impact on his franchise, because what they're feeling right now is actually frustration. They don't know which way is up. To have LeBron and to not play better, they don't have an easy answer to that. And what you saw or what you didn't hear was the frustration from that reality.
You just keep your hands off Kawhi, buddy. He's staying here in Toronto.
Oh, we got it.
No.
Not happening.
Just mind your own business,
he's
all right?
He's feeling it up here. Load management, man.
He loves the weather, too.
The loads have been managed, man, up here.
I hear a lot of stuff, guys, and someone told me, and I trust him. We'll see if he's right. He said, we are 100% sure we got Kawhi, and we're 51% sure we got KD in terms of the Clippers. So I don't know about the Kawhi.
We got a bad connection here, buddy. Yeah. We got to go.
I'm not buying it, man. Tell Steve Ballmer to stop spreading rumors, because it's not true, man. Yeah. Ballmer's not going to get the job done. It's not going to happen.
Oh, man, he has too much money to stop.
That's right.
That's the problem, man.
No, that's true, man. Always great catching up with you. We'll do it again down the road. Right. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
There's Marcellus Wiley.
100%
on Kawhi.
And 51 on KD.
By the way, like, I know that was kind of just an off-the-cuff comment, but there's probably he just doesn't make that up. Like, he talked to somebody.
Yes. I mean, Marcellus Wiley's pretty connected.
Very well connected.
It's not
Los Angeles.
Ron from Port Colborne.
No. But I don't believe for a second that Kawhi has told anybody what he's doing.
They don't know.
That's the thing.
Like, I know, but it's just...
It's not like... I believe it's much more likely, way more likely, that anybody in the league knows what Kevin Durant is going to do, as opposed to Kawhi. Like, with Kawhi, I just don't believe that he's talking to people about
Durant's
it. Durant's
probably
believe it.
Putting it out there on his... one of his burner accounts.
That could be it. It wouldn't shock me if Durant was trying to spread that rumor. Hey, Kawhi's going, and that I'm going to go, and we're going to team up so that they can maybe get a third guy there. Who knows?
Okay, on a smaller scale, if the Raptors make it to the finals, but they lose, and Kawhi has a decent run and all that, but leaves, when he comes back, what type of reception does he get? It's not the JT.
No,
obviously.
Not even close. I think it'll be
very
nothing.
Kind of
lukewarm,
kind of blah.
Yeah, there'll be some booze, some cheers, and
little
nothing.
Little video.
I don't know if I would do a video.
Well, it'll depend on the success that they have in the playoffs this year. If they go on a heater and a big run, they make it to an NBA Finals. There'll be some appreciation shown, but if not, it'll just be a guy that had a funny laugh and was a great player and didn't do much and
left.
See you later.
Yeah, and they traded for him. It's not like he signed here.
And the most popular player of all time left for him, so they might hate his guts.
Well, I don't even think it's Kawhi that would have to be concerned about the reaction. It's Masai that would have to be concerned about how people in Toronto are
but
going
Masai
to react.
Masai went in, like, you know, like...
Yeah, but so did Jarmo Kekalainen.
But it's paying off right now.
If the Columbus Blue Jackets, as gutsy as that was, if they don't make the playoffs, that's a clean house wipeout.
Yeah. Do you think the fans are going to be like, oh, no, I still appreciate that you traded all the picks and prospects and not made the playoffs?
Here's why I would say I don't think it's a clean house wipeout if they don't make the playoffs. Kekalainen has to run that up the chain. That could be the owner going...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the owner doesn't have the right to, in 3 months, still say you're gone. Yeah. The owner could have just as easily said, do whatever you want.
But you better make it.
But if you miss, you're fired.
Right.
So then he might have said, all right, if I'm going to do whatever I want, and you've told me if I miss, I'm fired, I'm going to trade everything and try to get in to keep my job.
I'm on the minority, I guess, with this. Like, Columbus is good young team. Like they're not just going to fold their doors up next year if they
no.
can't.
Like they've traded a lot.
They've got a core there. But what did they actually trade away?
Well, they traded a first round pick.
Okay,
for
picks.
Starters.
But that's when you've got Seth Jones and Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like there's your number one centerman, your number one defenseman who are 22 and under.
So they're not going to have a goalie when Bobrovsky leaves.
You can go and grab it. Korpisalo's not a bad goaltender. They can grab somebody else. Like I'm saying, like that team's not done. Yeah, like they didn't trade away
but
their future.
Of course not. But
I totally agree with Noodles.
No, stop. You were ready to argue with me 5 seconds ago.
But it was my first time.
It's not that they're, you know, it's not that they cease to exist. But the truth is, you've traded a lot of future assets.
Well, instead of trading, I see what you say.
Right now, they're picks, but eventually, those are players.
Let's just talk about the straight facts. I'm sure Kekalainen expected once he pulled the trigger on all of that. That there would be some results coming here, and they've stunk the joint.
Well, that's the truth. There's no way he's watching that game last night thinking, oh, this is good.
And I'll go a step further, and it'll back up both of your points. If you felt like you weren't going to go all in and make these moves, you had to move Panarin and or Bobrovsky, and you didn't. Instead, you doubled down. So that's, you know, that is...
Which I'm getting feathers for those two guys when they walk out the door.
Yeah. I appreciate the courage and the gumption to go out there and be like,
but you're right. If it doesn't work, it's either head rolls or you've got to fix it in a hurry as far as trying to retain some of those players that you traded for.
Right.
That's really what it is. But it's a gutsy move, and it's balls.
It was. It was with Masai and the Raptors as well, man. Like right. They went out, like they traded DeRozan, who you knew loved it here and you knew was going to give you 55 wins and a couple of playoff rounds. You knew it.
Yeah.
But there was a ceiling that came with that as well.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I appreciate that gamble. I appreciate what Masai did. And even if Kawhi leaves, okay, so be it. You know, the Raptors are probably going to have to explain to their own marketplace how the process played out. I do think the fans will be entitled to that. Okay, why did he leave? Did he? Right. Did you know that he had made his mind up the whole time?
What do you got to explain to? It's like,
well,
stupid if you don't know what the hell went on here. They had a chance to get a top 10 player in the NBA, and they did it.
Yeah, but they
and if he doesn't stay?
But they did it to try to sign him long-term. They didn't do it to just for 1 year.
One and done.
They're willing to accept if it's 1 year, okay, then we'll move on and we'll come up with a new plan. But they why is he... This load management is so that he signs, so that he loves them.
They acquired
Why did he
him.
Never fall in love with them?
They
if he leaves, he never
Do you
fell
actually
in love
think in your heart of hearts that that man is staying in Toronto to play for the Toronto Raptors?
No, I think it's a better chance that he's leaving. I don't think it's impossible to believe that he'll stay.
I think the odds
are 50-50. 90. I really do. I've said 50-50 all along. I still
95% he is not signing here.
I
95%.
He said
it's weird to walk out of his house with a jacket on.
Right, but he also said it's a great place, great restaurants, great people, unreal organization. He also said that.
I think...
He did.
Here's what I think Masai did.
Dude, you know better than to say stuff like that.
So you know.
No, I'm
what
just
are you,
saying.
Are you the guy that's speaking with Marcellus Wiley at Clippers games? Are you Steve Ballmer Steve now?
No, what I think Masai took a calculated risk and said, I'm going to get this guy up here, and I've got 1 year to win him over.
Yes.
One season.
Exactly.
That's what he's tried to
but
do.
But if you don't win him over, then you've got to explain
why. What kind of world do we live in where
over?
You can say to a guy, well, play whenever you want, and that's how we're going to show our respect?
Well, because that's what they're doing, though. That's my point. Like, yeah,
that's great. I don't even want a guy like that, but I have to pamper and baby.
Once he resigns, then that might be adjusted. You know, but this whole year has been about they have sacrificed a lot of their own integrity, a lot of their own. You know, maybe personal
you
standards.
You just said it right there.
But
your own integrity.
Try to here's the other standards.
They're willing to do it because they want to keep him.
But do we really know why he played 9 games last year? They obviously do. So we could be talking about something that he has a recurring this, recurring that, and it could be a moot point behind closed doors. That's all I would say. Because
yes.
I have no idea why he played 9 games last year when, was it Pop? And everyone else was like, why is this guy not playing? Like, there was a disconnect between that organization.
Had cleared him, and they thought he should be playing.
There's no disconnect here as far as his body. Like, they've
gone out of their way.
They know
do
what
that.
They have.
Right.
So they may be taking bullets for him because he may have problem X, Y, and Z, and we don't know about it in the general public.
Well, and we'll find
out. That's the only thing I would say.
That's what I'm saying. We'll find. Now, if he resigns, we won't find out because they're going to be like, we're burying all the secrets and all the details because he stuck around. If he leaves, that'll be an interesting little experiment. to see if they leaking stuff out. Hey, you wouldn't believe what this guy was up to. Like the old tarnish the reputation on the way out.
You think so?
Well, it happens all the time.
Peels, everything.
Yeah, it happens. Well, I'm not necessarily saying that, but you know,
this guy lived at the Peelers.
I can't confirm or deny.
Could you imagine if Masai just started floating things and then just saying, "I can't confirm or deny"?
I can't confirm or deny.
Right. In one door and out the next. Like, hey, you leak it to somewhere, you know, Josh Lewenberg, hey, just off the record, but just on the record, anonymous source.
Here's some receipts from the brass rail.
I can't confirm or deny.
This is what was going on. And then he comes out for his presser and you pepper him with questions and every answer is the exact same.
I can't
same.
Confirm or deny.
It's a greasy way to get out of a jam, but you get out of it. You just keep saying, I can't confirm or deny until people are like, all right, enough.
I think there's some people around this country that are having to say that hockey-wise, politics everywhere.
Well, there's a lot of non-confirming stuff and going on. There is.
And in this country and south of the border,
there's
too.
A lot of stuff going on. I can't confirm or deny.
Let's take a little break here. And Mulls, let's come in with some Mexican music because I'm heading to Mexico.
Oh, that's right.
Tomorrow.
You're leaving tomorrow.
Bamboreo! Bamboreo!
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, where are you going in Mexico?
Don't worry, that's none of your business. I'm not telling. Like, what
does it matter if I know?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you.
What, are you going to El Chapo's place? Like, where are you going?
I worry about like the water and stuff. Like, there could be some issues there. No. The boiler.
Uh-oh. No, I'm going to try some parasailing though.
That'll be cool.
Where you go?
Yeah, that's not bad.
What is it with like a parachute and you go up in the air?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Imagine the sharks just start swarming.
That's why I'm terrified of the ocean.
Me too, dude. I can't.
Terrified of the ocean. Terrified.
Parasailing, though, they just let you out and they bring you back in.
You should do
that
in the pool. You know what you should do is the, like, you know those videos? The wave pools.
That one where the guy with the shorts.
Shorts fell off and he's just getting tumbled all over the place. I need
to. Oh, that guy with the boiler, he's surfing?
Remember how shaky he was?
He was so shaky.
That guy had zero balance.
Oh, none.
Just got crushed as soon as the guy left, like, let go of him.
It looked fake, like him trying to get back up and then he'd land back into the pool. It was awesome. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. I wish I could do my best bets brought to you by ProLine in Espanol. I'll take the Devils of... No, I'm not taking Jersey.
New Jersey?
I'll take the Capitals of D.C.
The Capitales.
The Capitales. I'm on the Los Winnipeg tonight.
The Jets of Winnipeg?
Yeah, the Los Jets of Winnipeg.
I'll just be doing backflips off the swim-up bar tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Bamboreo!
Los Habitanos. I'm on Montreal and Anaheim tonight.
Are you?
Absolutely. Carey Price, back-to-back. I'm on Carey tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 94. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN1050Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Raptors are in New Orleans tonight. The Leafs are in Edmonton tomorrow night. The O-Dog, you're out of here. Noodles, you and I, we'll be in
next week.
I don't take a March break.
Yeah.
Only soft individuals
take a March break. In the contract. I don't argue with the fine print.
I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying, I intend on working.
Oh, yeah? And then when you go away to your stupid Florida trip, do I make a comment on that?
Yeah, you chirp me the whole time when I'm away. Okay. What do you think we're going to be doing to you next week?
I don't care. Call me. And
we
I'll be at the swim
you.
Up. The swim
we
up.
Can call you.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have a swim up? They have a, what do you call it? The little pool that goes around. The Lazy River.
I don't believe there is one.
Lazy River. We were talking to Hedge about that last week. I'm a
don't mind
lazy river guy. I love a Lazy River.
Hasta la vista, Brian.
All right, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, or I guess not
we'll
next
chat
Monday,
then.
But
we'll chat then.
We'll habla then. Noodles, you and I, we're back on Monday.
Yep, we'll see you then.
All right, at 4 p.m., we'll chat then.